Welcome to the University of Wisconsin Department of Family Medicine MedCast. My name is Dr. Kathleen Walsh, and I'm joined today by Dr. Melissa Stiles, Associate Professor in the Department of Family Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Stiles.
Well, thank you, Dr. Walsh. It's a pleasure to be here.
Our topic today is delirium in the hospital setting. Dr. Stiles, why is this an important issue?
It's important for a number of reasons. It's very prevalent, accounting for a number of admissions to the hospital and developing in patients in the hospital, particularly in the surgical setting. It also results in a higher frequency of morbidity and mortality.
What is the pathophysiology of delirium?
The pathophysiology of delirium is unknown. It's thought to involve a number of neurotransmitters, particularly acetylcholine, but also serotonin and dopamine have been implicated.
What are the risk factors for delirium in the hospital setting?
The risk factors are numerous. Leading the list are medications. So review of the medical list is very important. Other risk factors include having underlying cognitive impairments, advanced age greater than 80, malnutrition or dehydration, visual or hearing deprivation, having infection, and use of physical restraints. I can't emphasize enough the importance of not using restraints, as this often makes the problem worse.
As a physician, how would you instruct me into the diagnosis of delirium?
The keys are acute onset, fluctuating course, and inattention, with either disorganized thinking or altered level of consciousness. The main issue is to try to differentiate delirium from dementia. In dementia, the patient's cognitive status is relatively stable, while in patients with delirium, it fluctuates throughout the day. One bedside test that you can do is called the A-test to try to differentiate delirium from dementia. You say 26 letters and ask the patient every time you say the word A, raise your hand. Even in patients with moderate dementia, they can follow this easy task. But patients with delirium have problems with inattention and they won't be able to complete the task.
What do you mean 26 letters?
26 random letters. So A, C, D, F, B, S, A.
Well, what is the workup in the hospital setting?
The workup starts with a very good history and physical. There often is a tendency just to try to order something over the phone, but assessment at the bedside is critical. You need to know what the patient's underlying mental status is and often need to consult with family members, as they will be the ones that know for sure the changes that occur. Reviewing the medical list is critical. What new medications have been added, as these will often be at least a contributant to the delirium in the hospital. Don't forget to ask about alcohol use or review the history. Alcohol withdrawal is certainly one of the causes. The workup in terms of labs is really targeted at the history and physical, but generally includes chemistry panel, including electrolytes. You want to rule out common infections such as UTIs and rule out hypoxemia. Depending on the history and physical, consider thyroid function tests, B12, ABGs, and ECG.
How would you treat delirium in the hospital setting? I know a lot of physicians will just medicate, but are there options that we can use?
Oh, definitely. Medication is really a last resort. Prevention is the key to treatment. You want to anticipate delirium before it occurs, especially in the surgical patient. Treat underlying medical problems. Monitor for constipation and urinary retention. Monitor for sleep hygiene and sensory deprivation. The sleep-wake cycles can be easily disrupted in the hospital and very much a component of delirium. As I emphasized before, avoid restraints. This only makes things worse. Encourage family visits, and if family is not available, consider having a sitter.
Well, if we do need to use pharmacological interventions, what are they?
Again, to emphasize, they're really a last resort. Indications would be if patients are a harm to themselves or to others, or they're interrupting vital care, such as pulling out IVs if they're getting IV antibiotics. The most studied currently is Haldol. Recommend to start at the lowest dose possible, 0.25 to 0.5 milligrams. Atypicals such as risperidone and quetiapine can also be used. One major point with medications is to avoid benzodiazepines, except in patients with alcohol or drug withdrawal. In the elderly, you often get a paradoxical reaction that causes increased agitation, not calming.
What is the bottom line?
The bottom line is to anticipate delirium as prevention's the key to management. Target the workup based on the history and physical, and limit medications.
Thank you, Dr. Stiles.